Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, just 2 days ago, Vice President Pence became the very first U.S. Vice President to ever address the full Israeli Knesset. In short, the response was overwhelming. For Israelis, the speech was like water in a dry desert. For those opposing Israel, the Vice President's speech was similar to poking a mad dog with a stick. Yet, truth is always that way, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Like a sword, as we know in Scripture, truth cuts those who agree with the truth and then it heals them. But for those who reject it, the sword cuts and ultimately subdues. And as one Israeli journalist wrote about the vice president's address, he said it was more like a sermon, perhaps, the most powerful sermon ever delivered to the Israeli Knesset. I thought that was interesting. So because of the significance of that address, we believe this speech or sermon was significant, and we're going to devote the entire program to it today, what Vice President said and some of the implications resulting from it. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined today by Evangelist Dave Kistler, President of the North Carolina Pastors Network and Hope for the Hill in Washington, D.C., as well as Dr. Gary Dahl, Senior Pastor of Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania, and also the Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. And we're also going to be joined by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He's our recurring guest. He will be with us the entire program. He's an expert on Israel, the Middle East, biblical prophecy, and he also hosts his own radio program entitled Prophecy Today. Now, all that being said, our theme for the day is this: Vice President's Address to the Israeli Knesset, a speech or a sermon? And with that, I want to get right into the heart of our program today, men. And let me start right off here with a short clip of Vice President Pence with his introductory comments in Jerusalem just 2 days ago.
Thanks to the President's leadership, the alliance between our two countries has never been stronger, and the friendship between our peoples has never been deeper. And I am here to convey a simple message from the heart of the American people. America stands with Israel. We stand with Israel because your cause is our cause. Your values are our values. And your fight is our fight. We stand with Israel because we believe in right over wrong, in good over evil, and in liberty over tyranny. We stand with Israel because that's what Americans have always done. And so has it been since my country's earliest days.
Well, Jimmy, I'm just going to stop the recording right there, and I'm going to go right to you. Those were some introductory comments when the vice president began. There was a little bit of altercation there with some opposition from some of the Arab members of the Knesset. But once that was subdued, the vice president went right into it, and he laid out that foundation basically saying, we, the United States, have always stood and stand with Israel. Do you agree with the vice president about that? And to your knowledge, has there ever been a nation, Jimmy, who has stood so strongly with the principles and the values of the nation of Israel? And whether you answer yes or no to that question, there clearly is a connection now. And what is that significance of that relationship now between Israel and the United States?
Let me make a couple of observations, if you will, Sam. As I listened to the president just at that moment and just in that little short clip, got goosebumps all over me. I mean, it was amazing. No, I'm not an emotional guy necessarily, but that was a historic moment. The vice president of the United States addressing the Israeli Knesset. That is very seldom opened up to world leaders, much less the vice president of any country. So I think that's amazing. Second thing I observed is how Vice President Pence is so dedicated to serving the President of the United States and speaking on his behalf. Here's a man who's such a class act and knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not threatened by someone above him, but he believes he's in God's will to be in that place. Now, let me say, I believe he was in the will of God absolutely when he stood up there, and he did address, and the applause just broke out. You did mention the demonstrations. That was exciting to me also, because that shows how the United States, who's not a democracy, there is a representative republic, and therefore to recognize the only democratic nation in all of the Middle East was exciting. And in fact, it was emphasized by the fact that those members of the Knesset who are Palestinian Arabs, they put on a commotion that caused the police operation there at the Knesset to take them out of the building. Now, having said all of that, there's never been a nation, in my opinion, and I've thought back through history, that has had such a close relationship with the Jewish state of Israel. And that goes all the way back to President George Washington, all the way up to the last president in position of leadership now, Donald Trump. Now, many nations have had a short-term relationship, but they would then fall away from those ties in relationship with the Jewish state. I would suggest just one example, Great Britain, for example, and in 1917, they're the ones that brought the Balfour Declaration into existence, 100th anniversary last year, which really led to and was a major step in bringing into existence the Jewish state of Israel. As it relates to the significance between this relationship, the United States and Israel, you know, the United States has been blessed, I believe, mainly for one reason. That's their relationship with the Jewish state. Remember Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is he that blesseth me. And he's talking about the Jewish state of Israel, the Jewish people, his chosen people. And that's just an absolute promise. They've got to remember that the partnership in the Middle East is key, and they've been together. They've had been allies in battle, et cetera. And during the time of Saddam Hussein, boy, I was there in Israel when they were sending those Scuds in. Had it not been for the relationship Israel and the United States had in that first Gulf War crisis, there would have been a nuclear warhead on some of those Scuds coming in instead of just a possible chemical warhead. So there's been a relationship, the closest I've ever seen in all of the history of the United States.
Well, Jimmy, and with that, when you come back in the next segment, ladies and gentlemen here, we're going to play a little bit more of a clip from the Vice President. He's going to cite some of the proof, basically, of the involvement of the United States and our founders with Israel from the beginning. But I would submit that it was very unusual for the Pilgrims and the Puritans to come here saying they wanted to found a new Jerusalem, a new Israel, and to be a shining city on the hill, the light from which would encompass the world. Very significant, very historical. So stay with us. We're going to come back as we stay on this theme, Vice President's address to the Knesset. Was it a speech or a sermon? We're going to talk about how God stands with Israel in the next segment. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Not only did Vice President Pence make it clear, citing many references, that the United States has always stood with Israel, the values of Israel, and citing references to President George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, he also made it clear that God stands with Israel. One reporter, after listening to the Vice President's address, even went as far as saying this, quote, Mike Pence's sermon at the Knesset casts him as the hero of Israel, and get this, the horseman of the Trumpocalypse. Interesting, isn't it? Well, let's listen now to just a few more of the Vice President's comments delivered on the floor of the Israeli Knesset, and then we're going to pick up on our discussion of the general theme of Vice President's address to the Knesset. Was it a speech or a sermon? Russ?
During his historic visit to Jerusalem, President Trump declared that the bond between us, in his words, is woven together in the hearts of our people. And the people of the United States have always held a special affection and admiration for the people of the book. In the story of the Jews, we've always seen the story of America. It is the story of an exodus, a journey from persecution to freedom, a story that shows the power of faith and the promise of hope. My country's very first settlers also saw themselves as pilgrims, sent by providence to build a new promised land. The songs and stories of the people of Israel were their anthems, and they faithfully taught them to their children, and do to this day. And our founders, as others have said, turned to the wisdom of the Hebrew Bible for direction, guidance, and inspiration. America's first president, George Washington, wrote with favor to the children of the stock of Abraham. Our second president, John Adams, declared that the Jews, in his words, have done more to civilize man than any other nation. And your story inspired my forebears to create what our 16th president called a new birth of freedom. And down through the generations, the American people became fierce advocates of the Jewish people's aspiration to return to the land of your forefathers. To claim your own new birth of freedom in your beloved homeland. The Jewish people held fast to a promise through all the ages, written so long ago, that even if you'd been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there he would gather and bring you back to the land which your fathers possessed. Through a 2,000-year exile, the longest of any people anywhere, through conquests and expulsions, inquisitions and pogroms, the Jewish people held on to this promise. And they held on to it through the longest and darkest of nights. A night, Elie Wiesel proclaimed, seven times sealed. A night that transformed the small faces of children into smoke under a silent sky. A night that consumed the faith of so many It challenges the faith of so many still. And tomorrow, when I stand with my wife at Yad Vashem to honor the 6 million Jewish martyrs of the Holocaust, we will marvel at the faith and resilience of your people, who just 3 years after walking beneath the shadow of death, rose up from the ashes to resurrect yourselves, to reclaim a Jewish future, and to rebuild the Jewish state.
Well, gentlemen, there was a whole lot more to what the Vice President said. He went on to cite many other passages, actually, from Scripture. But, Gary, I want to start right off with here and ask your comment. Because what the Vice President did there, he referred at the beginning of that statement there in that clip to a statement made by President Trump that the Jewish people are the people of the book. If you could build out just a little bit of the significance of that statement, people of the book.
Well, Sam, I would like to do that, and I will do that. But, you know, to listen to that particular speech / sermon, and it was good Bible teaching, tears came to my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, to have a vice president of the United States of America stand there in front of the Knesset and give that kind of delivery. Wow. I mean, just wow. God bless him. I believe that that was anointed from God, and that was a good, strong message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he refers to the Jewish people, Israel, being the people of the book, he said the truth. And, of course, you know, he's talking about the Scriptures, the Old Testament, and I'm going to add the New Testament, because even though they've got, you know, the New Testament speaks of their future as well, but when you read through the Old Testament Scriptures, you see the birth, the history, the blessing, the future of Israel, and they are the people of the book. And when you read through the Isaiahs and the Jeremiahs and others, you can see, and Ezekiel and Daniel, you can see how the blessing of Israel is yet, the blessing of God is yet upon Israel, and their best years are yet to come. They are the people of the book.
Gary, that was a great summary. Jimmy, I want to go to you now, because he also said this: the Jewish people held fast to a promise through all the ages, written so long ago that even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there he, God, would gather and bring them back to the land which your fathers possessed. And then he said here, then this April, we're going to mark the day when the Jewish people have answered that ancient question. Can a country be born in a day? Can a nation be born in a moment? As the state of Israel celebrates the 70th anniversary of its birth, end quote. Jimmy, I already got a little bit of your commentary because you commented when Gary talked about it, but how significant are these words of the vice president for the Knesset? And just out of curiosity, before you finish your comment, I do want to know whether you think that the vice president's address was more of a sermon than a speech.
And it was more of a sermon. I'm standing here not only crying like Gary, but I'm shouting amen, amen, amen. All he needed was a point. You know, in homiletics, they teach us 3 points and a point. That makes a message. I didn't hear his point, but boy, he's got the 3 points and he drives them home. Listen, God has chosen the Jews, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. God has promised them that they would, after being scattered, Deuteronomy 28, to the earth, they would be regathered. Ezekiel 34, he says it 18 times. In chapter 37 and verse 8, he said they would be restored as a nation. They're going to have a greater future than they've had. A kingdom is coming. That's Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 6. Boy, when you got that much scripture in a so-called speech, it becomes a sermon. All he had to do is give him the invitation, and I would have gone forward.
Amen, brother.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you a question, because I'm sitting here just like you and Gary and Sam, almost overwhelmed by what our vice president had to say. It is historic in every sense of the word. Dr. Jimmy, you've lived in Israel for 20-some years. You have seen the twists and turns of American administrations with respect to Israel and how they responded to Israel. In one sense, after the last administration and the way Barack Obama treated the Jewish people, did you ever, in one sense, ever dream we would see something like what we witnessed 2 days ago coming from the lips of our vice president?
I've got to tell you, Dave, I prayed for it. I prayed for it from the presidents when I was in Israel who were under George H.W. Bush, under Bill Clinton. I prayed for it under Jimmy Carter. I prayed for it under Barack Obama, George W. Bush. I never really heard any of those men, some of them good, some of them were not liking so well. I've never heard any of them stand up and be as bold as President Trump to name Jerusalem. That is so with the scripture. Jerusalem is a major component of Bible prophecy. Without it, there would be no prophetic future as far as we are concerned and what the Word of God has to say. You'd have to destroy that passage of scripture. And so for the president to name Jerusalem the political capital, and then the vice president go over and confirm it, and then really fill out the rest of that sermon around that statement of naming Jerusalem. It's an amazing thing. I never thought, Dave, it would happen. I am so excited I can hardly stand it because, as I said, it's a major component of Bible prophecy. It's the next step we had to go to, and the rapture, because of it, could happen today.
Amen.
Jimmy, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not able to sense the excitement of Jimmy and Dave and Gary and I to what we just heard, you probably just tuned in then, because we are more than excited because of what the vice president said. And as Jimmy, you just said, and Dave, I think you asked a great question. Did you ever expect that when you asked Jimmy, did you ever expect to hear anything like that? Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Dave, I don't think I did. I did not imagine. I mean, I've prayed for these kind of things, but I did not imagine that we would actually hear and see such strong commitments to the nation of Israel and to Jerusalem as we have now seen and heard since, well, the president made his announcement of Jerusalem on December the 6th. This is incredible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're focusing on the vice president's speech to the Knesset. First time a vice prince has ever spoken to the Knesset. Did that on Monday. And just as we are obviously rejoicing over what we heard, and every believer ought to be excited to the core, truly, they ought to be. Well, there are those who are equally angry, as if they've been poked by a stick over there. Many Palestinians, Turkey, and others. We're going to come back. We're going to look at the implications now of what the vice president has done.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
If you're just joining us now on Stand in the Gap today, we are thrilled to have you. If you're in your car or in your home, your kitchen, whatever you may be right now, we thank you for being with us, and it's a privilege. We try very hard to bring you, as we say, the news of the day, the important news of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective. That's unique, ladies and gentlemen. And we hope that you are appreciating it. We want to hear from you. If you haven't contacted us, let us know that you're listening. Please do that. Go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. Drop us a line. Let us know. If you want to listen to this program again, I encourage you to do that. Do that on the same site, standinthegapradio.com, or on your smartphone, Android or iPhone. Download our free app. Just put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap, and you can pick up all of the archives to the daily program, our weekend program as well, Stand in the Gap Weekend, and our daily devotional one-minute program, Stand in the Gap Minute, all there at your fingertips. And can I ask you also, if you've not participated with us financially, can I ask you to do that? And you say, why do you want to mention that, Sam? Well, I want to mention it because this is a ministry. And if you are getting value, or if you're being blessed of God by what you hear, we need to hear from you, and I ask you to participate with us. We are in the investing in heaven side of the business. That's what we're all about, laying up treasures in heaven by communicating the truth. Participate with us. Join with us in this ministry if you could. So you can do that all there on the website or on your app. Now, we're talking about the vice president's speech and saying that it really is encouraging to those who know the truth and agree with God, but it is just as horrible. It's a poke like a stick into an angry dog for those who oppose God. And this is also very obvious. By so doing, what the vice president and the president have done relative to Jerusalem and Israel, The enemies of God have also been emboldened. They were cut to the heart by this particular address, and they're reacting as we speak, in particular Turkey and the Palestinians and the European leaders are incensed. Literally, they are on the war path. So to talk about some of these reactions, I want to bring back in now Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, to give us some comment. Jimmy, I want to go immediately to, first of all, the Palestinians, because the reaction to the Pence address was so remarkable in some respects that even while the vice president was speaking, Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinians, he didn't even wait for the address to be finished. He was already up in Europe talking to the European Union leaders, asking them to swiftly recognize the state of Palestine. And he said, quote, "We truly consider the European Union as a true partner and friend, and we therefore call upon its members and states to swiftly recognize the state of Palestine. And we confirm that there's no contradiction between recognition and the resumption of negotiations." My question, Jimmy, is this. It clearly appears that the European Union, and I may say maybe not the UN, but at least the European Union, is metastasizing, put it that word, in favor of the enemies of Israel and increasing their alignment with, could I say, Islamic terrorism. What's your take on that? Because something's really happening here, Jimmy.
Mahmoud Abbas shows up in Brussels at the same time the Vice President of the United States addressing the entire world, basically, from the Knesset in the city of Jerusalem. Mahmoud Abbas is, as a liar, standing there with a group of people, the European Union, who are seemingly totally ignorant of history. He said, "Would you recognize the state of Palestine?" Never has been a state of Palestine. And indeed, I'm not seeing where the scripture says there will actually be a state of Palestine. Now, we'll have to wait for history as far as that's concerned. But here, this man who he denies the Holocaust, he says that the Jews have no connection to Israel, and in particular, the Temple Mount. Then he goes and tries to get the European Union, a major political body in our world today, out of the European continent. He tries to get them to recognize something that never was in existence. He then says, "We need you to help us." Well, you know what? They're ready to fight Islamic State all over the countryside, but they don't want to fight the terror of the Palestinians. Hamas and Fatah, the two factions of the Palestinian people, are both terroristic organizations, believing the only way to be able to bring this all thing together is to have a state of Palestine, get rid of the Jewish state of Israel, and have Jerusalem the capital. Totally anti-biblical. You know, in the last days, there are going to be two major powers. They're going to have the revived Roman Empire and the leadership of Gog, which would be Russia, in Magog, the battle of the Islamic world against the Jewish people. I believe the European Union is at least the infrastructure of the revived Roman Empire. And as we watch Russia and the Islamic states in the Middle East, you can see that forming as well. Islam is going to be wiped out. And that is key. But there's only going to be two people that will be left after that. That will be Babylon, modern-day Iraq, and the Edomites, the Palestinian people. And they're going to be dealt with at the end of the tribulation period. Boy, if the stage is not set for this to happen. Shannon Bream on Fox News last night, I watched it late up until almost midnight, interviewed Saeb Erkat, and Erkat is the chief negotiator for the Palestinian people, and he said if the United States doesn't reject the Declaration of Jerusalem and refund us for the monies they cut off to the United Nations, I want to tell you something, there's going to be violence, blood is going to be shed. What kind of negotiations is that? That's a threat for war, and I don't believe either the United States or Israel is afraid to take on the Palestinians.
You know, Jimmy, you certainly cannot negotiate with somebody who wants to destroy you, can you?
certainly cannot.
And, you know, just before I ask the question, isn't it interesting, going back to what you said, Vice President Mike Pence stood in the Knesset and spoke to the world, and Abbas was in Brussels just speaking to a few people. There's got to be a story behind that one, too. But let me go on to Turkey. You know, Turkey is also rising up in opposition to not only the Kurds, but in reality against the United States, with some saying that the war beginning by Turkey against the Kurds is in reality a proxy war against the United States. And I'm wondering, Jimmy, if you can sort of expand on that a little bit and share with us what your thoughts would be, please.
Gary Tayyip Erdogan, who is the president of Turkey, has had a problem for just about 30 years with the Kurds. And he's done everything to try to defeat them. They're still a thorn in his flesh. And so now he's not only having problems with the Kurds that are in Turkey. And remember, there are Kurdish people in Turkey, in Syria, in Iran, and in Iraq. Well, he's going to take the ones, Erdogan's going to take the ones in Syria out. So he has his military forces and his air force going into invading, basically, the nation of Turkey. Of Syria, and he's doing everything he can to get rid of the Kurds over there. They're going to continue to bother him. They're a major force throughout the entire Middle East. I got to tell you, Turkey would not be doing that without the at least tacit approval of Russia and the United States because of the relationship they have there. There's a verse over in Jeremiah 51:11 that's unbelievable. It says, I'm going to raise up the spirit of the Medes, the Medo-Persian Empire. Well, the Persians, of course, are Iran today. The Medes are the Kurds of today. And they're going to be raised up in the last days to destroy Babylon, which would be modern-day Iraq. I mean, everything is coming so into focus like it's never been before with all of this going on.
Dr. Jimmy, let me quickly ask you this, or just at least get you to comment on this. What is a stunning thing to me with respect to all of this that we're watching? The president's acknowledgement that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, the vice president's phenomenal speech 2 days ago before the Knesset. All of this is a revelation of the tremendous understanding on the part of someone or several someones within the Trump administration of the prophetic scriptures, but it's also a revelation of phenomenal courage on the part of our president and vice president. I'd love for you to comment on those two things.
Dave, I do believe that speechwriter that wrote that speech for the vice president was amazing in the biblical knowledge that he had, the understanding of the end time scenario. I would love to meet the man or woman, whoever did it. They were just fantastic putting that all together. But there is a key principle in Bible prophecy over in Revelation 17:17, and it says this, that God puts into the hearts and minds of political world leaders to make decisions that will set the stage for his prophetic scenario to be fulfilled. That's an absolute. It's from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is happening. God brought human government into existence. And he is using it now to accomplish his ultimate will. So the speechwriters are great. The men, I believe the vice president really knows the Lord, walks with him, has influenced Donald Trump. But I believe God's putting in their hearts of these political leaders to accomplish his will.
Well, Jimmy, I agree with you, and actually Gary and I were just talking while you were answering Dave's comment, and we both made the same comment to each other. In the case of the address that the vice president made, I wouldn't be totally surprised if he wrote a lot of that himself. We'll find out. Actually, I'd like to know, because he delivered that not as a speech. He delivered that as something almost like a sermon, as we're talking about, that he wrote. And ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Jimmy DeYoung just said, God puts in the hearts of those in positions of leadership to advance ultimately God's greater plan for the world. And it's ultimately that plan of redemption that was established at the beginning of creation will work itself all the way through the end of time. And it centers exactly what we're talking about, the Middle East, Israel, and all of these nations. I look at a headline right now. It says German leader Merkel says the current world order is under threat. What she means is the current world order is about to change. That's very prophetical. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Pence speech and put more practical terms. What comes next?
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, the biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
Hello, I'm Pastor Gary Dahl of the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania. On January the 22nd of 1973, a terrible thing happened in Washington, D.C. That was when the United States Supreme Court, in the Roe v. Wade decision, legalized death through abortion in all 50 states of the Union for the full 9 months of pregnancy, and thus ruled that a woman had a right to privacy broad enough to include aborting an innocent child from her womb. Now, that was 45 years ago, and since that time, over 60 million babies have been killed under the guise of a medical procedure. But abortion is nothing less than murder, as life begins in the womb at the point of conception, which is clearly taught in the Bible and can be proven through medical science. The act of innocently killing an unborn child in its mother's womb is an abomination to God and will bring judgment upon our beloved nation. Without a doubt, Roe v. Wade must be reversed. But how can Roe v. Wade be reversed, you ask? Well, consider the following points. Number one, Christians must stand up and speak out against this great abomination by telling others that God is the author of life and death, and that as human beings we do not have the right to kill at all, including abortion, infanticide, suicide, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, homicide, or any other form of murder. Number two, Christians must evangelize those who are lost in their sins, because those who know Christ will not consider abortion. Number three, Christians must pray that legislators and judges on the state and the federal levels will reject abortion and uphold life. Number four, Christians must consider running for office so as to bring the light of the gospel into the dark halls of government. Number five, Christians must pray that God will raise up a band of other Christians to run for office who will stand for biblical principles. And number six, Christians must lead our nation in repentance and confession of the sin of legalizing abortion and murder. Will you do your part? Don't delay. Start today. I'm Pastor Gary Dahl. God bless you. And remember to keep looking up.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
In so many ways, the actions of President Trump, his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital, which he did back on December 6th of last year, and then now the address by Vice President Pence restating the recognition of Israel and Jerusalem and the inseparable ties between Israel and the U.S. seems to be an increasing catalyst for the furtherance of biblical prophecy. It makes the days in which we live, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, not only to be spectacular, but in some respects glorious for those who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And for those of you who are listening, perhaps who have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Redeemer, these days will become increasingly more perilous and more worrisome, as we're reminded in Zechariah chapter 12, where God said that in these days I'm going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the nations. And I'm just going to add in my thoughts to this, these are my own thoughts, that we can almost make this statement that when we see God making Jerusalem a burdensome stone, then we should surely think that we are in these days. And I'd say these days are the end days, getting very close to the return of Christ. So to put together some concluding thoughts about these things that we've covered on this program already, I'd like to go back to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung once again. Jimmy, as a preacher of the gospel and a student of biblical prophecy, we've already talked about some of these elements here today, but we've talked about a lot of things. You've talked about God putting in the hearts of leaders to advance God's clock. We're talking about those responding to truth. If they respond properly, it's a healing and unifying result. For those who reject the truth, reject God, the truth ultimately will actually cut them down in judgment. But there are a lot of things here, a lot of points and directions that we could go in summarizing what the average person listening to the program today should do with this information. So why don't you take a stab at it first? Biblically, where we're headed, and prophetically, what should we keep in mind as we see these days unfold before us?
Sam, you just mentioned Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3 when you said Jerusalem shall become a burdensome stone. That's absolutely correct, but verse 2 should be coupled with that third verse, and that says that it's going to be a cup of trembling. Now, that's apocalyptic literature. In other words, in Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation, he uses apocalyptic phrases or symbols to communicate an absolute truth. And a cup of trembling, when you study and use inductive Bible study, is talking about the center of controversy. People who control Jerusalem, and in particular the Temple Mount, will be intoxicated with power. What he says in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 15, he said, I'm going to be very much upset with that. Well, who is that? That's the Palestinian people today, the one who rejected Vice President Pence's sermon there on the Knesset in Jerusalem. When the vice president went to the Western Wall to pray, and he did that yesterday, when he went to that Western Wall, he had a police force that the Israelis are saying are paving the way for the protection of the Jews to go up onto the Temple Mount and be able to erect their next temple. Now, that's what he says in chapter 1 of Zechariah, verse 16. There's going to be a temple that will be put up on that Temple Mount. Jerusalem is the political, spiritual, and eternal capital of the Jewish people, according to the Bible. The world is now on notice, coming from the President of the United States and the Vice President, and from the center of all the earth, Ezekiel 5:5, the city of Jerusalem. It's a key component in the end time scenario. By the way, the Antichrist will go to Jerusalem to confirm that peace agreement that everybody's talking about. And, of course, that's going to start the seven-year clock ticking on the tribulation period. There'll be a temple built, as I said. Turkey and Syria. Now, these are nations that we brought into the discussion today. Will play a key role in the alignment of the nations to go against the United States. Go against the state of Israel. In fact, the United States is not even mentioned in Bible prophecy. I've got to tell you, the stage is set, all the actors in place. Even the rabbis say we're living in Zechariah 12, 2 and 3 today. This is all going to follow the rapture of the church, which is the next event on God's calendar of activity.
Dr. Jimmy, you said something early in the program that I want to go back and just ask you to flesh out a little bit. You talked about the response on the part of the Palestinians and how they immediately went to the European Union, began to appeal to leaders there to obviously recognize the state of Palestine. You also indicated you believe it will be from the European Union that the coalition will form that will be ultimately headed up by Antichrist, what some people call and you call the revived Roman Empire. Can you flesh out a little bit more about how our president and vice president's actions with respect to Israel is actually facilitating this end time scenario?
Well, as I've already said, and you and others have mentioned as well, Jerusalem is going to be the center of the world, not only in its position in real estate, but in its political activities as well. And when you see the European Union making every decision that Bible prophecy calls for in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, you can see it coming together as that revived Roman Empire. Chapter 7, verse 8 says the Antichrist comes out of that, and then he starts unfolding everything. Meanwhile, in Russia, they're putting the alignment of nations together. And so you're seeing a group of activities taking place, and you have the Palestinians who are going to be all the way to the end of the tribulation period, that festering activity going on there trying to wipe out the Jewish state. It says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35, that the Palestinian people, the descendants of Esau, they're going to rise up, they're going to kill the Jews, they're going to steal their land. All of these things unfolding. Now, what we talked about, the revived Roman Empire, the Magog alignment of nations, the coalition there, the Palestinian people. This is what God's word calls for. It's absolute. It will be fulfilled, and it's right in our face at this point in time.
Gary, let me go to you next after Jimmy answered that question. Again, you are, of all of us, Dave and Jimmy are evangelists. I preach, but I'm not a pastor. I have a different role, but you are a pastor. When we were just communicating during this program, saying, boy, if a pastor's in the pulpit today and is not motivated by what's happening, the things we're discussing today, to bring it to bear before his people, I wonder what's there. Gary, I don't know what you're going to preach next Sunday, but doesn't this motivate you as a pastor to take and connect the dots for your people?
I was thinking about preaching down through Zechariah 14 because I'm looking ahead. You know, when it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Boy, there's a lot in there. But, you know, here's my concern, Sam, and we did not communicate about this, but I think we're thinking alike. My concern is for preachers, and I would like to throw out this particular challenge to every pastor, every preacher who's under the sound of our voices today. That is, preach the truth of Bible prophecy. Get to know what thus saith the Lord is all about and communicate it to your congregation. If you are an itinerant preacher like Dave Kistler is, communicate it to the churches in which you minister. Let people know what God is doing today so that they will be excited about looking forward to what God is going to do in the future. The best is yet to come for Israel and for every born-again believer.
Amen to that, Dave and Gary and Jimmy. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the program today and for all this commentary. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have been inspired. We normally close the program in prayer, but we're out of time. But I want to encourage you, think about what's been said. Think about your relationship to Jesus Christ. And if you're not excited by this, you may need to revisit your relationship with the Lord. These are exciting times, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stand on the Gap today. Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, Gary Dalton, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. Thanks for being with us, and join us again tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.